I'm going to go at Genesis, the 18th chapter, verse 25 to start off with tonight. We've been talking about God's plan for the end of the age. Amen. Have y'all been enjoying this? God's plan for the... How many know God's got a say-so in what's going on and what's going to happen? Amen. And, you know, the thing I've learned more and more than ever before is that, you know what? God loves us. Amen. He loves us with such an intensity that, man, he wants to be our help. And he wants to be our strength through whatever we may face or whatever we may go through in our life. And I want to read this in Genesis, the 18th chapter, verse 24. Who knows what we're talking about tonight? Anybody? We're talking about judgment. Everybody said, woohoo! Come on. You know, I was wondering if anybody was going to show up tonight. You know, when you announce and say, you know, we're going to be talking about seven biblical judgments, you know, it's like you wonder if anybody's going to show up. But let me tell you, how many of this stuff's important? Amen. We got to know this stuff. God wouldn't have put it in his word if he didn't want us to know it. Amen. And he's just trying to prepare our hearts for the things that are coming. Amen. And so we're going to look at some things tonight, and we're going to talk about seven biblical judgments that the Bible talks about. And, but I want to read Genesis, the 18th chapter, verse 25. It says, and this is Abraham talking to the Lord. He says, that it be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. So Abraham tells God, and speaking to God, he says, God, listen, I know you. I know where Abraham was saying, God, I know you. He says, far be it from you to slay the righteous with the wicked. And then he says, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. He says, shall not the judge of the earth do right? Hallelujah. And everybody said, amen. Because God will do right. Amen. I want us to go to John, the third chapter, verse 16. John, the third chapter, verse 16. I know you guys know the scripture, but let's read it a little bit further than John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God says, listen, he sent his son, Jesus came, so that we could have life. Amen. How many have God's life in you right now tonight? Amen. And then verse 17 says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he says that I've sent my son not to bring condemnation or to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Verse 18, listen to this, very important, because this is all in the same train of thought, okay? He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so here in the scripture in John, it's talking about judgment. It's talking about the way to escape judgment and not be condemned is to believe, amen, in the Son of God, the one whom God has sent for you and I to be the sacrifice for our sins, amen. Go to John 10:10. It says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, to destroy. It says, I have come that you might have life and life and have life in abundance, amen. And so Jesus has come to give me life. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus has come to give you life. Hallelujah. So now we're talking about in this teaching of God's plan for the end of the age. And tonight we're going to talk about seven Bible judgments. And the Bible teaches that there will not be a general judgment of the righteous and the wicked. Okay, so we need to understand that. In other words, God's just not going to lump everybody together. God, you know, Abraham asked that of the Lord. God, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't put the righteous with the wicked and judge us. And so, because would not the judge of all the earth do what is right? And so understand the righteous and the wicked, okay, they're not going to be judged at the same time or in the same place. So we're going to talk about some things tonight, amen? And so everybody said amen. Hallelujah. We have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us tonight. Amen. Glory to God. And so we're going to go to John, the 12th chapter, verse 31. John, the 12th chapter, verse 31. And we're going to talk first off the judgment of the sin of the world. Amen. Because I don't know if you realize this, but sin had to be judged. Amen. And so we're going to talk a little bit to start off with the judgment of the sin of the world. And so the judgment of the sin of the world, it affects what takes place when somebody believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Now, how many in this room tonight, you've believed that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Amen. We've accepted him as our Savior. Amen. I want to see that. Read this in John 12, verse 31. It says, now is the judgment of this world. Now, understand, a lot of this is what Jesus taught. Okay, that we're going to look at because some of it's, most of it's from the Gospels. But it says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now the word judgment, now let's just get a definition of judgment. We're going to kind of do some teaching tonight. It's the idea of a decision that has been made. Okay, a decision that has been made. And actually it's a word that's describing justice in regards to divine law. Justice in regards to divine law. And so what judgment is, it's a decision that has been made in regards to justice, speaking and concerning divine law, God's law, okay? And so understand that according to John 12, verse 31, it says, now is the judgment of this world. It says, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, so Jesus is talking about his crucifixion, okay? He says, now that I be lifted up from the earth, he says, and he's also talking about his resurrection, that I'm going to draw all men unto me, okay? So understand the power of sin, okay? The power of sin had to be destroyed in order for a person to become a child of God. Sin had to be dealt with in order for someone to become God's child. Amen. For you and I to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, sin had to be dealt with. So understand there was a judgment of sin that took place. And that judgment of sin, when it took place when Christ was upon the cross. Okay? Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 24 says this, for Christ has entered into the holy place made, not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And so understand, when Jesus died upon the cross, he went and he appeared in the very presence of God for you and I. He went and sprinkled, the scripture says, his blood upon the mercy seat. Why? So that sin could be destroyed and sin could be judged in the earth forever. Amen? So understand, sin was judged and sin was paid for us at the cross. Amen. It was paid for us at the cross. John 19, verse 17. It says, and he bearing his cross went forth into the place called the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him between two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote upon the cross saying, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. You read down all the way to verse 13, and you find that Jesus says something very powerful in John 19, 13. When he was on the cross, he came to a point and he said, it is finished. It is finished. In other words, he was declaring that, okay, it has now ended. Everything is complete. Everything has been executed. Everything has been discharged. Okay. In fact, it's a Greek word, the word finished. In the Greek, it's a Greek word, teleo. And what the word teleo means, it means the discharging of a debt. It's the idea of someone who owed a debt and someone else coming and paying it. And now that debt is no more there. In other words, the debt has been paid. The debt has been canceled. And so understand that this judgment in regards to sin, the judgment of the sin of the world was paid for and was canceled when Jesus Christ was upon the cross. Amen. And so understand something that took place with that. That the death of Christ upon the cross, okay, it brought justification for everyone who believes in Jesus. Amen. It brought justification for everyone who believes in Jesus. And you say, well, Pastor, what does that mean, justification? I mean, you read it in Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 1. It says, therefore, we've been justified by faith. We have now peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read all the way through that portion of scripture, it talks about that we've been reconciled to God through the blood of Christ. And so understand that justification means that you and I have been made innocent. And understand sin had been judged upon the cross when Jesus died. He bore upon himself the sins of the world. Now, I know you guys know this, but something that we just need to understand and get into our spirits and recognize that, you know what? God, he had a judgment that he had to execute. In other words, that he had to put into play. And that judgment was the judgment of sin. And the only way that sin could be satisfied or sin could be judged was that somebody had to be a sacrifice. And that sacrifice was Jesus for you and me. Amen. So that what? So that you and I could become sons of God. So that you and I could be born again. So that you and I could be declared innocent from all of the wrong, from all of the sin that you and I have committed in our lives. That you and I have been declared justified by faith. We have been declared that we've been made innocent and pronounced just and pronounced righteous by God. Not because of anything that we've done, but because sin was judged by God because of his son. Jesus took upon himself the sins of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your voice and thank God for that. I thank God for that. Amen. That Jesus paid that price for us. And another judgment the Bible speaks about. It's found in 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verse 31. And this is the judgment that a believer has to do in regards to himself. The believer's judgment of himself. I don't know if you realize this, but you know you're supposed to judge yourself. Okay? Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verse 31. It says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Whoa, that's pretty heavy duty. Come on. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So this biblical judgment that the scriptures teach us, it's a judgment that you and I are to execute in regards to ourselves. That you and I, we are to judge ourselves. Amen. It says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. So as believers, I don't know if you realize this, but as believers, you and I, we have a responsibility and a duty daily to live the lifestyle of a Christian. Amen. Why? Because Jesus paid a price. Amen. There was a judgment that was executed for the sin of the world. And Jesus gave his life so that you and I could now become sons of God. We can be declared just, justified, innocent, not because anything that we've done, but because of the fact that Jesus shed his blood for us. Now that we are believers, there's a judgment that you and I need to execute in our life every day. And that judgment is the judgment of ourselves. To where you and I, we're to judge ourselves so that we would not be judged. And so we as believers, we have to understand that we are responsible daily for living the lifestyle of a Christian. Amen? To live the lifestyle of a Christian. And so 1 John 1:7 says this. It says, as a believer, we're to walk in the light. I'm to walk in light. Amen? It says, but if you walk in the light as he is the light, we will have fellowship one another in the blood of Christ. His son will cleanse us from all of our sins. So understand, I'm supposed to make sure that I'm walking in the light. Amen. In other words, I'm walking in truth. I'm walking in knowledge that has been revealed to me. I'm making sure that spiritually I stay pure before the Lord. In other words, making sure that everything in my life is exposed to the view of God, to where I'm saying, God, I want you to make sure that there's nothing in me that I am allowing that's going to cause me to not walk in light anymore and cause me to walk in darkness. And so understand as believers, in other words, we're to make our progress. We're to regulate our lives. We're to conduct ourselves in light. In light of what? In light of what we know. In light of the truth that's been revealed to us. Amen? How many know we know stuff? Come on. How many know we know a lot of stuff? We know more than any other generation. I mean, we've been inundated with knowledge. And information and truth. And to understand God's wanting us to judge ourselves in regards to what we've learned and what we've known and make sure that we continue to walk in that revelation, to walk in light. Amen. As believers, we're to be obedient to God and his word. I'm to judge myself and make sure that I'm staying obedient to God and obedient to his word. James 1:22 says this. It says, don't just merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. Guys, we got to do what it says. And so I'm supposed to judge myself. You're supposed to judge yourself. This is one of the biblical judgments that the Bible talks about. That as believers, we're supposed to judge ourselves. I'm supposed to make sure that I'm continually walking, making my progress, conducting my life in light. Okay? In other words, what God has shown me, truth that I've come to understand. And I need to make sure that I'm obedient to God and obedient to His Word. In other words, if God says something, I just can't listen to it and disobey it. I need to hear it and do it. I mean, we're supposed to be doers of the Word, not just hearers only. Amen? So I'm to judge myself in that whether or not I'm obeying God and obeying His Word. Bible says, it goes on in James, the first chapter. It says, don't merely just listen to the Word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror. And as soon as he's looking at himself, goes away immediately, forgets what kind of person he is. But the man who looks diligently into the perfect law or the word of God and continues in it, not forgetting what he's heard, but begins doing it, it says he will be blessed. So guys, understand, God wants you blessed. But if we don't judge ourselves on whether or not I'm walking in the light, judge myself on whether or not I'm obeying God and obeying in His Word, then it's going to affect me. It's going to affect my relationship with the Lord. Amen. As believers, we're to act and we're to live like the Son of God, like sons of God. Amen. We're to live like Christians. Amen. You know, you read in the book of Ephesians, it gives us a pretty detailed list. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 21. And I'm reading out the Living Bible just so it kind of makes it kind of clear. It says, if you have really heard His voice and learned from Him the truths concerning Himself. In other words, if you're really a Christian. Come on, how many are really a Christians? Okay, all right. It says, then throw off your evil nature. Come on, it says you got to throw off your evil nature. The old you that was a partner in your evil ways, rotten through and through, full of lust and shame. Verse 23, it says, now your attitudes and thoughts, they're to be constantly changing for the better. So I got to make sure my thoughts and my attitudes are changing for the better. Yes, you must be a new and different person, holy, good. Clothe yourself with that new nature. It says, stop lying to each other. Whoa. It says, stop lying to you. Tell the truth. For we are part of each other, and when we lie to each other, we're hurting ourselves. If you're angry, don't sin by nursing your grudges. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Get over it quickly. For when you are angry, you might allow the devil to get a foothold. If anyone's stealing, let him stop. Begin using his hands for honest work. Don't use bad language. Come on. Say only what is good, helpful to those who are talking to you. And give them a blessing. Don't cause the Holy Spirit sorrow by the way you live. Remember, He's the one who's mocked you for this present day. And when salvation from sin, stop being mean. Whoa, come on. I heard a shout, come on. Stop being mean. We can't be mean. Come on, Pastor. No, you can't be mean. That's not in my Bible. It's in your Bible. Come on. Quit being bad-tempered, angry, quarreling, having harsh words. Disliking others. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you. And the reason why is because you belong to Christ now. So understand, a biblical judgment, number one, was there was the judgment of the sins of the world. Jesus bore those sins upon Himself. He died on the cross, shed his blood so that sin could be forever dealt with. That whenever somebody receives or asks him to be the Lord of their lives, their sins have been washed away and they are declared innocent, not because of what they've done, but because of what Jesus has done. Amen. And then now that you've become a Christian, you got to judge yourself. In other words, you got to make sure that you're walking in the light. You got to make sure you're obedient to God and obedient to his word. You got to live and act like sons of God. Amen. So in order to do that, I got to make sure that I judge myself every day. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. So that's judgment number two that the Bible talks about. We're to judge ourselves. Romans the 14th chapter, verse 10. Romans the 14th chapter, verse 10. There is a judgment that the Bible speaks about, which is the judgment of the believer's works. Now, salvation, it doesn't require any works. It says, by faith we're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. But now that we've become believers and we've accepted the work that Christ has done upon the cross, that our sins have been dealt with by him shedding his blood for you and I, there is a judgment of the believer's works that will take place after the rapture of the saints. Okay? Let's look at this. Romans the 14th chapter, verse 10. It says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, said the Lord, every knee will bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God, and every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Okay? Every one of us shall give an account of ourselves to God. Now, does this have to do with our sins? No, it does not have to do with our sins. Our sins were dealt with at the cross. Those sins were judged. There was a judgment that was made in regards to sin, and that was at the cross, so that you and I could become believers. We could become sons of God. Now that we've become sons of God, you and I, we're to judge ourselves. Make sure that we're walking in the light, making sure that we're living in obedience to God and to his word, making sure that we are treating people the way that we're supposed to be treating people, doing what we're supposed to be doing, not just being hearers of the word only, but being doers of the word. Amen. Bam, the rapture happens. We talked about the rapture in the past 2 weeks. How many believe Jesus is coming? I believe Jesus is coming any day. Amen. The rapture will take place. And all the believers will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and forever we shall be in his presence. Amen. Why? Because we're sons of God. Amen. So we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're enjoying the presence of the Lord and the goodness of God. And then we find that there is a judgment that takes place. Not for your sins, but for what you've been doing. And everybody said amen. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 10 says, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now, the word judgment seat is an interesting word. It's the Greek word bema, and it could be referred to as the bema seat of God, the bema judgment of God. And what bema means is actually a word that describes the step at the foot of a throne. The step at the foot of a throne. So I just want you to get this picture, that all of us are going to appear before our Savior Jesus, we're going to appear at the step of His throne, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, what's going to take place there? Now, remember, we're already in heaven, okay? Because this takes place after you and I are already in heaven. In other words, our sins were forgiven, amen? We were washed in the blood of Jesus. We became Christians, amen? We had given our hearts to God, amen? We're not being judged with the wicked. But we are in a position where now we're going to be judged at the very step of God. Amen? And so, understand that the time of the judgment seat of Christ, it's going to be between the rapture of the saints and the second coming of Christ. The rapture and the second coming are two different events, okay? It's going to be between the rapture of the saints and the second coming of Christ. Revelation 22:12 says, "See, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to repay everyone according to the deeds that he's done." So understand the judgment of the believers. It's going to be based on works, both good and bad. This is where God is setting up his millennial reign. We're going to talk about that in the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about the millennial reign of Christ. But this is where he's going to set up the... You know how our generation right now is wanting everybody to be equal? How everybody's supposed to have the same fair share? Well, the judgment seat of Christ is going to determine where you are in regards to the millennial reign of Christ, in serving Christ for all of eternity. Okay? I don't know if you know this. We're not just going to be sitting by a river with our feet in it playing harps. Come on, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, there's stuff we're going to be doing. We're going to be reigning and ruling with Christ. All right? And so at the judgment seat of Christ, it's based on our works. In other words, God is looking at what you have done and what you haven't done, and you're going to be judged at that judgment seat in regards to what you've done and what you haven't done, not for your sins. Your sins have already been judged at the cross. So it has nothing to do with your sins, okay? Because your sins, you've been washed. You've been declared justified. You've been declared innocent by God. But what this does, this judgment is that you and I, we're going to be judged for the works that we've done to determine the rewards that we get and where we're placed in the kingdom of God on how we will serve for all of eternity. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 10. "This is according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. As a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon." And so he's talking about that there was a foundation that was laid. That foundation was Christ. And now you and I, now that we've become Christians, we're building upon Christ's set foundation. Whether you realize it, all of us are building something. Okay? Verse 11. "For other foundation can no man lay than that which has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon the foundation of gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble," or this is the thing that you're all about, "is that every man's work shall be made manifest, for that day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work according which sort it is. And if any man's work abides, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." So he's not talking about the wicked, okay? He's talking about the righteous. Because let me tell you, the wicked will not receive a reward, okay? And we're going to talk about that. And so this is talking about the righteous, that there's going to be a reward that is going to be given, and that's going to take place at the judgment seat of Christ, where God is going to look at all that we've done and all that we were about. And like it says here, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, all that's going to burn up. And only things that were done with pure motives, right motives, done for the Lord, obeying God, serving God, honoring God, those things are going to stand. And you're going to be rewarded for that. Okay? Doesn't mean you'll go to hell. Doesn't mean anything like that, because our sins have been dealt with. There was already a judgment in regards to sin. And that judgment was at the cross, when Christ gave his life for us so that you and I could become sons of God and we could be justified and declared innocent because of what Jesus has done. Now that Jesus is Lord of our life, we're supposed to be doing what? Judging ourselves, making sure that we're walking in the light, making sure we're obeying the word of God, making sure that we're obeying God, making sure that we're treating others the way Christ would want us to treat them. Why? Because all the works that we do in life, how many know we all do stuff? Come on. We have dealings with all kinds of people. All of us do. Some people we're nice to, some people we're not nice to. Come on, how many know that? Well, as a believer, that's all going to be revealed at the judgment seat of Christ. And it's going to determine what rewards we have. Okay? So this is just a couple of things. I'm giving them to you real quick because I want to go on. These are things that believers will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Number one, doctrine. In other words, what you believe. We got to believe the right stuff. Amen? In other words, we need to make sure that the truth of the Word of God is what we use to be the guide of our lives. Amen? Our words are going to be judged. Our words are going to be judged. You read in Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 32. He said, whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven, neither in this world nor the world to come. Verse 33 says, either make the tree good or the fruit in its fruit, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. It says, O generation of vipers, it says, for out of the abundance of the mouth speaks. Verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say unto you, this is what Jesus said, that every idle word that men shall speak, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. We're going to give an account for the words that we've spoken. Amen. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned, it says. So guys, we got to put a guard at the door of our mouth as believers and make sure we're hearing what God says say and only say what he says. Amen. Because we're going to be judged in regards to the words that we speak. And we're also going to be judged in regards to the truth that we've believed. Amen. We're also going to be judged regarding things that have affected other people. In other words, your conduct towards other people will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. So guys, we got to be nice to people. We got to love people. Amen. In other words, your conduct, it includes slander, quarrels, foolishness, joking in a way that's not really godly, broken promises, wrong dealings, debt you might owe somebody and you don't pay. How you treat others is going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. And then also the things that affect God. We need to understand that disobedience, failure to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, all that stuff's going to stand and be before us at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Not that you won't be in heaven, because we will be in heaven, but we'll be judged for the works that we've done at the judgment seat of Christ. And rewards are going to be given to us. So I don't know about y'all, it kind of sobers me up, Brother Bill. It makes me kind of like, okay, I better tighten up, tighten the ship up, you know what I'm saying? And walk right, love, you know, live the way God wants me to live. Amen. And so that's three judgments the Bible talks about. The judgment in regards to the sins of the world, which has already taken place. The judgment that you and I are supposed to have regarding ourselves. We're supposed to judge ourselves. Make sure that we're honoring God. We're obeying his word. That you know, we're walking in light. We're supposed to judge ourselves every day as believers. There's going to be the judgment seat of Christ that's going to take place somewhere between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ. that everyone who was born again, who was taken up in the rapture, whose sins have been washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, we've been justified by God, we will stand before Jesus and we'll have to give an account of everything that we've done, good or bad. Not that it will keep us out of heaven, but it's going to affect the reward that we receive from the Lord. And it's going to affect where we will serve Him throughout all of eternity. Amen? So the judgment seat of Christ is going to be rewards and lost rewards. Okay? Is that a good way to put it? The judgment seat of Christ is going to be rewards and lost rewards. Amen? Because the judgment seat of Christ, it deals with believers as servants. Okay? It's not, it doesn't deal with whether or not you had a big name or not. It deals with believers as servants. Okay? Doesn't affect our salvation, because that salvation was made possible by Jesus shedding His blood for our sins. Amen? We're saved through grace, through faith. Amen? Fourth judgment, and I'm not going to stay long in this, is the judgment, the Bible talks about the judgment of Israel. Israel is going to be judged by God. Okay? And it will take place during the Great Tribulation, the judgment of Israel. It will take place during the Great Tribulation. So Israel as a nation is going to be judged based on their obedience to God and to God's word. Okay, so Israel will be judged during the Great Tribulation. Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, if you were taking notes, verses 33 through 44 talks about that. And I'm not going to read all of that with you tonight. But that is a judgment. That is the fourth judgment that the Bible speaks about, will be the judgment of Israel. Okay. Then there's going to be the judgment of nations. Nations are going to be judged by God. Okay. And this judgment of nations will be the judgment of Gentile nations at the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ. God's going to judge nations. And it's going to be based on the nation's treatment of Jews. It's going to be based on the nation's treatment of Jews. Okay? And it will allow nations to enter into the millennial reign of Christ and the government that Christ will set upon the earth. Amen? And that's in Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 31 through verse 46. Matthew 25, verse 31 through verse 46. So there's the judgment of Israel. There'll be the judgment of nations. Okay? Sixth judgment that the Bible talks about is the judgment of angels. God is going to judge angels. Okay? He's going to judge angels. And this will be a judgment of not angels that are in heaven that are working for God right now, but is a judgment of fallen angels that rebelled with Lucifer and was cast out of heaven. Okay? And this is going to take place after the millennial reign of Christ. After the millennial reign of Christ. Okay? Because where the millennial reign of Christ comes in, it's at the end of the tribulation, 7 years tribulation. Rapture takes place. Okay? We go to be with Christ in heaven, believers. There's the marriage supper of the Lamb, somewhere in there between the rapture and the second coming of Christ, because Jesus is going to come back at the end of the tribulation. Okay? He's going to make war against the Antichrist. And somewhere in between there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? And then there's going to be the judgment of Israel during the tribulation. There'll be the judgment of nations at the end of the tribulation. And then there's going to be the judgment of angels, which is going to take place at the end of the 1,000-year reign of Christ. There's going to be the judgment of angels. Okay? And this is going to be a judgment of fallen angels. Okay? It's going to be a judgment for their sins that they committed. All right? And the result of their judgment is going to be eternal damnation in the lake of fire. 2 Peter 2:4 says this, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." So here in 2 Peter, Peter talks about the fact that there are angels that have been cast into hell that are chained in darkness, and they are awaiting judgment. Jude, the first chapter, verse 6, it says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day." And listen to what it says here. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah," how many believe Sodom and Gomorrah were pretty bad? "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth in their example, suffering the violence of eternal fire." So they saw the judgment of God. And so these angels are going to be judged by God. And that's going to be at the close of the millennial reign of Christ, that God's going to judge all of the fallen angels. In other words, one third of the angels that rebelled with Lucifer are going to be judged by God, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire that burns forever. Now, what I want to talk about just for a moment is the seventh judgment. And that is called the Great White Throne Judgment. Okay? It's not the judgment seat of Christ, but this is the judgment seat, or this is the Great White Throne Judgment, where God himself, the Father, is going to judge all the wicked that have been alive, all the wicked dead. Revelation 20, verse 11. It says, "And I saw a great white throne." This is going to take place at the end of the millennium, the end of the millennium reign of Christ. "So then I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away from, for there was found no place for them." In other words, the awesomeness and the greatness of the Father God caused the heavens and the earth to flee from his presence. It says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Now, this is not the dead in Christ, okay, because they, all the believers that were dead in Christ, in other words, those who were Christians, have already been raptured in this rapture of the saints. They've already gone to the marriage supper of the Lamb while the tribulation is going on. They're in heaven. They've experienced the judgment seat of Christ, where the works that they've done while living on the earth, they're going to be judged. They're either going to receive rewards or they're going to lose rewards. Okay? And so now we've come to the Great White Throne Judgment, which is God judging all the wicked dead and the angels that have sinned. They're going to be judged at the Great White Throne Judgment. And so God will judge the secrets of men. He'll judge idle words. He'll judge their thoughts. He'll judge their actions. He's going to judge their sins. Let me just go ahead and read it. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." It says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And so God's going to judge the Father. He's going to judge the wicked. He's not going to judge the wicked with the righteous. Okay? That will never, ever happen. He's not going to judge the wicked with the righteous. Okay? And so our sin was judged on the cross. That was the first judgment we talked about. In other words, the judgment of the sins of the world. And anyone can receive forgiveness of sins. It's God's will that no man perish, but all of us receive Christ as Lord of our lives. It's a choice that all of us have to make. Amen. And most of us in this room, we've made that choice to receive Christ into our life. Amen. And so what we do from that point is that from that point, you and I, as Christians, we're supposed to do what? We're supposed to judge ourselves. Amen. We're to make sure that we're walking in light. We're to make sure that we're obeying God's word and that we're obeying God. Amen. that we're treating others the way that they should be treated. Amen. Then there's the judgment seat of Christ, where we're going to stand before the Lord when we go to heaven at the rapture of the church, somewhere between the rapture and the second coming of Christ, that the judgment seat of Christ is going to take place. And we're going to be in the presence of the Lord, and we're going to either receive rewards or we're going to lose rewards. The judgment of Israel, the judgment of the nations, the judgment of angels, and then the great white throne judgment, which is the last judgment, which will be at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, verse 24 says this. It says, the sin of some men are quite evident, going before them to judgment, for others their sins will follow them. 1 Peter 1:17. And remember that your heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites when he judges. He will judge you with perfect justice for everything you do. So act in reverence, fear of him from now on until you get to heaven. Now understand, at the judgment seat of Christ, at the great white throne judgment, this is going to be the basis of judgment, okay? Because there's not going to be anybody that's going to be there without an excuse, that's going to have an excuse, okay? The basis of judgment is, well, number one, it's going to be conscience, okay? Because, you know, some people will say, well, you know, Pastor, there's some people may have never heard the gospel. You know, they may have never heard Jesus, you know, that Jesus died for their sins. Romans, the 2nd chapter, verse 11 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature those things contained in the law, having not the law or a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the means while accusing or else excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So understand that men's conscience is going to play a part in the great white throne judgment as far as the wicked dead that are going to stand before God. Okay? How many have ever did something before you were a Christian and you knew it was wrong? And you either chose to continue to do it or you chose to not do it because of your conscience. Okay? God's put that in all men. Okay? As a way to help guide and a way to help direct them into what is right and to cause them to turn away from what is wrong. So men are going to be judged by the law of conscience. Men are going to be judged by the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. Okay? And so you could read that. In verse 12, which we just read, it talks about that people are going to be judged by the law or by the scriptures or by truth. We're going to be judged, the wicked dead are going to be judged by the law of character, okay? Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 17 says, this I say, therefore, and testify of the Lord, that henceforth we walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened and alienated from the life of God through their ignorance. This is because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. And so it's talking about the character of men. How many know some people will do things that other people won't do, whether they're Christians or not? Okay? And so understand, people are going to be judged by the law of character at the great white throne judgment. So they're going to be judged by their conscience. They're going to be judged in light of truth, the word of God. They're going to be judged in light of their character. They're going to be judged in light of the gospel. It says in John 12, verse 47 and 48. And so, and then they're also going to be judged in regards to the book of life, whether or not their names have been written in the Lamb's book of life. And so if you've noticed in the scriptures, in Revelations, it says that the books were opened. And so God's got books that he opens that he has recorded in regards to all men. He's recorded in regards to things that they've done, in regards to, in light of their conscience, in light of their character, in light of obeying of truth in light of the gospel. And then it also says that there's the book of life, which reveals those who have received Christ as their Savior and as their Lord. And so what I'm saying is that the wicked dead will not be able to stand before God, the Father, at the great white throne judgment and say, I didn't know. Okay? Or the devil made me do it. All right? Because if their name's not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Bible says they're going to be cast into the lake of fire that burns forever. So everyone whose name's not found in the book, they're cast into the lake of fire. That's what's going to take place at the great white throne judgment. Amen? And so there's going to be different levels of degrees of punishment that actually will take place, determined at the great white throne judgment, just like at the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be judgment that's going to be given, okay? Matthew 7:2 talks about the way that God judges. He says, for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measurement, it will be measured unto you. And so there's going to be standards of measurement that God's going to use to judge those at the great white throne judgment. Okay. And it says, Matthew 10, verse 14, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of their house, shake the dust off to their feet. For verily I say unto you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And so we need to understand that God has painted a picture of what is to come and what is to take place. And so we need to understand that the judgment will be passed upon each individual when at the great white throne judgment. It's going to be an eternal judgment. In other words, there's not going to be an appeal. There's not going to be, you know, anything like that. Okay, once you're there at the great white throne judgment, it's over. Okay, and so God's going to usher in new heavens and new earths, and so we're going to stand before God and worship Him and praise Him and love Him and serve Him for all of eternity. Amen. And wickedness will be no more. Amen. Because the devil's going to be judged. Fallen angels are going to be judged. Wickedness is going to be judged. Sin has already been judged. And so we're going to serve the Lord in holiness and purity from that point forward. Amen. So let's stand. We're going to close right there.